Let us begin this service by singing number 69. The stanzas 4, 5, and 6. 69. The habitation of thy house is ever my delight. The place where dwells thy glory, Lord, is lovely in my sight. Number 69, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. First, I read to you the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word, Ecclesiastes 7. And we commence with verse 11. Ecclesiastes 7. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider God also has set one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongs his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knows that thou thyself likewise have cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bent. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, says the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I found, not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God has made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and is multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in thy condescending mercy, in thy long suffering, and in thy loving kindness towards us, that we have still a name and a place at thy footstool. That we are spared in the week that lays behind us, that thy hand has protected us in the home and on the road. Where other ones were taken away by the hand of death, some in the prime of life, for whom it became eternity, without thinking about it. Because in such times and moments, there is no opportunity to think about eternity. O Lord, that all the mercy bestowed upon us, that it humbles our heart, that it breaks our heart in pieces by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. From ourself thou knowest, there is nothing that ever shall humble us unless that the fruit of the humiliation of Christ is revealed and applied to our hearts. And that is the only reason that it can be and shall be. O Lord, look upon us in thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased also in this Sabbath day, where the doors of this sanctuary are opened again to receive the parents with the children and grandchildren, to place ourselves under the authority of thy infallible word. And thou knowest perfectly, Lord, as an all-knowing God, what we stand in need of. We are all poor sinners in ourselves. We have no ears to hear, no hearts to observe, even no tongue and mouth to speak. But bind us at thy throne. Look upon us in mercy, and that we also look upon thee, from whom and from whence have to come all our help. Also in listening and preaching and reading and catechizing, in all those labors laying upon our shoulders in this day, who is sufficient to do those things, but oh Lord, gladden our heart out of that free and that sovereign good pleasure from all eternity, that that become for the first time and by renewal our life, our hope, our trust, and our comfort, because it is all flowing out of him who had found a ransom and who had given his only begotten Son as a propitiation for the sins of his people. Look upon the whole congregation, those that cannot gather with us in this day, bound to their houses in Carmelitan homes, those that are in hospitals and that have to enter into the hospitals this week. Thou knowest all the needs and wants. Those who return out of the hospital to their homes, give them an heart to acknowledge thee with the dear ones, make further everything well in the weakness of their bodies, and sanctify all thy dealings also to those mothers, one who was brought there in that hospital, she could not stay longer by the daughter, on account of the weakness and infirmities of their body, and another mother that have again a stroke. Oh, the needs and the wants are so great and so manifold. Supply it out of thy fullness, those families out of their midst. Their brother is taken away so suddenly and unexpectedly, and for whom it became also eternity without any thought about it, brought brought up in the true doctrine from his early days, but thou knowest what all have taken place, and that man by nature, that he is hardening his heart. Oh Lord, have mercy with all of us. We are all the same by nature, but look upon us, cast us not away, pick us up, take us with thee, bring us home, bring us back in that only way that is in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And to bring us together in those bleeding arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He lays us at the heart of the Father. Oh Lord, bless thy word in this Sabbath day, here and everywhere in the world, where thy people come together. Bless the labors in the mission fields, and for that huge nation, the boys in the service and in the battlefield. Oh, that thy eyes were open over all of them, with all the widows and orphans and widows also amongst us. Spread out thy wings over all of us. We are not worthy the least of thy consideration. We have sinned away everything. But, oh Lord, give us a token for good in this Sabbath day. Help us in the language of the land. Thou knowest what a mountain that it is time and again. But oh, give errands and hurts at our right and left. Gladden our heart. Convert sinners. Uncover hypocrites. Confirm thy work. And oh, when I ask that, uncover hypocrites, there shall be people sitting here that would say immediately in their heart, that is I. But all those that say that they not belong to that people. Oh Lord, look upon us in mercy and in compassion, and bless thy word, glorified Christ, and forgive all our sins. For Christ's sake only, amen. Number 291. Their God and Savior, they forgot, their helper and stay. But Moses flee the promised grace and turn God's wrath away. Number 291. I asked your attention this morning for the consideration of the third Lord's Day. did God then create men so wicked and perverse? By no means. But God created men good and after his own image, in righteousness and true holiness, that he might rightly know God his creator, heartily love him and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature has become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed, we are. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Thus far. The previous Lord's Day treats of the knowledge of our misery, and that man is an exile and a transgressor of the law of God. It is after the fall of Adam impossible that we can do something that can please the Lord. That is by nature entirely out, excluded. There is, thus in other words, there is no expectation of a natural man. But now in this third Lord's Day, this morning, that deals with the origin of our misery. The cause of the deep misery of mankind. This is the grand inquiry in this Lord's Day, which accordingly penetrates deeper in the subject of the depravity of human nature. You know that one of the points of Calvin in his dogmatic, that is the total, and we can well emphasize that 1,000 times, people, to give no ground for a Pharisee and for an hypocrite, because God's people knows that by experience, that there is never and ever anything coming from men that is pleasing to the Lord. There is no possibility in regard to men, to natural men, that he can deliver himself and that he carry store himself in that state in which he was created in paradise. But now, in order to explain with the help of the Lord this morning a little of this catechism, there are four things to consider. The work of God in creation. Second, the work of Satan in tempting. Third, the work of man in the fall. And in the fourth place, the work of the Holy Spirit, by which deliverance is made possible. This first of all, we have to consider the work of God in creation. The creation of the world and of men, that is glorious and perfect. Man is now miserable, but the fault is not on the side of the Lord. It is as our catechism declares, God created man good and after his own image. Now you know that the Lord in his word, that he is speaking in a twofold manner about the image of God. The Lord, he speaks in his word about the essential and perfect image of God, and that is in the eternal Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person. You read that in Hebrews 1, verse 3. But then also in Colossians 1, verse 15, that Christ, the Son of God, is the image of the invisible God. And what is now the meaning of that? The meaning is that Christ possessed all the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. That was never with men. We are well created after the image of God, but that is only partly, and that is only referring to a certain extent to the communicable attributes, not to the incommunicable attributes. That image of God that is given to all, a rational and moral creatures, namely to the angels as well as to men. Thus, that means that they had some positive virtues of God or attributes, but of course not and never in the same manner as that they were given to the eternal Son of God. And it is not only to the body or to the body that those, that image was given, no, because God is a spirit. And the image of God that refers to the soul of man. However, you could see in the creation of Adam, in his stature, in his exalted stature, that he was a bearer of the image of God. But those gifts in regard to the communicable attributes, those gifts, you can find that, of course, in all our old writers, if you have them in your house. They are clear enough in that. And they all say that that were the special gifts that the Lord had given to the soul of man. He was spiritual after the soul, invisible, simple, and then endowed with mind, with will, and affections. There is one amongst our old writers, and that is Hugo Binning. That is well one that is standing above all the other ones who had explained what Adam was in a state of innocency. And really, I would appreciate it that our young people was reading in that work. It is different reading as the paper, of course, and other writers, because if you read that man, then you have well to read it time and again, four or five times, those sentences of that man, to realize what he will say to you. Because those sentences are so deep, because that man that was really instructed by the Lord, he died between his 25 and 26 years old. And of course before that time already, all professors, they consider to make him a professor after that they have heard his lectures when he was almost 18 years old. But of course that is something special. But that insight that man had received from the Lord about the state of innocency, that is really remarkable. The Lord, he created us perfect. And now man, he knew God, and he served God, and he glorified God. He had a perfect knowledge of God, and he was covered with the perfect righteousness of God, and with his holiness too. He was not afraid of the Lord, no. He could meet him by day and by night. And the Lord, he visited him in the state of innocency, One of our old traders kindly talks about that too. And he said time and again, humanly speaking, then the Lord he came to men. And he showed him his love and his favor continually. And then also Adam had a certain jurisdiction. In the first place, man, as a creature of the Lord, he had jurisdiction over his wife. He was standing above his wife. And both of them, Adam and Eve, they have jurisdiction over all the animals, over the fish of the sea, over the bird of heaven. And Adam was placed there to a certain extent as a ruler over this world. The creation of man was really excellent. It was a wonderful thing because you read not about those angels that they were endowed with the image of God, but the world that was given to men. Thus in his creation, he was standing above them. What a wonderful work that the Lord had done in the creation of men. He never was equal with God. No, that was impossible. He stayed a creature, and the Lord remains his creator. That will be never taken away. Even if men had hold the command of the Lord given in the covenant of works. Thus did God then create men so wicked and perverse? By no means. A perfect God can never create something that is imperfect. A child can understand that. You read also in Genesis that all that the Lord has made and that he sought, it was all good, it was very good. And the Lord had his delight in his work, in the work of the whole creation, but also in the work of the creation of men. God created man good and after his own image in righteousness and true holiness, that he might rightly know God his creator. Thus, that means also that there was no darkness in his mind. And in his soul, that Adam and Eve, they loved God perfectly. And the purpose of the creation that was that the Lord, that they would live with the Lord in eternal happiness. And the great purpose of the creation that was to glorify and to praise God. Thus, the whole life of man means nothing than only to glorify and to praise God. Therefore, the Lord had given men a tongue and a mouth. The Lord had given men everything that he would glorify God in his whole life. Dus wat een wonderful purpose, people. Therefore, if there comes a time in our life and that have to become, that have to come there personally, that the creation of God that have become a reality for us personally, and that then the Lord, by the light of his Spirit, that he showed to us what we were in that state and what we now became by sin in our deep fall. But if that become reality, then at that time our heart shall well break in peace. And then if the Lord there at that place did not uphold his dear children, oh, then they were sinking away forever in despair, people. And there are now still few remains of the excellent gifts which he had received from God, as you read in Article 14 of our Belgian Confession. But those remains that refers not to the soul, that means not to the soul in that respect, that there is any left about the knowledge of God and the righteousness and the holiness to help us and to deliver ourselves, no. But all those remains that is to condemn us, and to do that we are realizing for ourselves that we are the cause of all our wretchedness and of all our misery. This, the creation of the Lord, people, that is a perfect work. Now we have lost the image of God as considered in its narrow sense. But in the fall of Adam, men did not become sick as Pelagius had taught his people, and later on Arminius. No, but man is actually dead. Man is totally dead. And the people that years ago go to the Harwood Church, the some that now live here, they have known that they were reading there, those elders, many times out of Van der Kemp, the Catechism of Van der Kemp. And Van der Kemp, he said in the Catechism about this point, that there is well a difference between dead people. Some bodies you can see in 4 days, he said, without any changing. And he said there is people that died, they have sometime immediately to close that coffin, because you cannot see him so quick that they go over to corruption. But he said, so it is now with dead sinners too. There is people that had a life as the rich young man, really, and there is people that have a terrible life, but he said, both they are dead. Both they are dead. And therefore, congregation, that teaching of Pelagius in 450 and later on van Arminius, that is now in the churches too, in general. because most of the churches now, they deny that man is dead in trespasses and sin. They denied it. And there are thousands and thousands of people, they neglected to accept it. And therefore, they are leaving the true churches because they will not hear it entirely that man is dead in trespasses and sin. And still, that is a point to take that is over, people. Oh, our nature can never take it over. And in us, there is nothing, there's enmity against it. Because by virtue of that covenant of works, we are all inclined to climb up to the Lord. But we have to learn that the Lord has to come back to us with his saving grace. And therefore, it is one of the necessary things in the church that in the true Reformed doctrine that they stay with that man is dead in trespasses and sin. He continued while being human, being an actual creature, oh yes, and he is responsible for his whole life, and responsible for his fall of Adam. That is all true, but still we are dead in trespasses and sin. And not the cause of that is not with the Lord, no. But the cause lays only by men, and that for 100% with men. There are, of course, in the fall of Adam, two things involved. And that is, in the first place, the work of the devil, and in the second, the work of man himself. I will say something about both of them this morning, in accordance with what you can find in our old writers. The work of the devil. You know, the devil was one of the angels created by the Lord. The dwelling place was heaven, but they were in a certain time no longer content and did agree with the place that the Lord had given them. The idea that was no longer be subjected under the Lord, but the same as God. Those angels did not remain steadfast in the truth. You read in verse 6, that the angels which kept not their first estate. And then those angels, they were cast at number that was did not agree with the Lord and not no longer satisfied with the place, the Lord, he cast them out of hell, out of heaven. You read that in Isaiah 14, that they were cast out of heaven. But now there is a text in Luke 10 that Christ said, I saw the devil cast out of heaven, fallen out of heaven. Because in the Old Testament dispensation, then you read about those angels, those devils, that they came in the congregation of the Lord in regard to the history of Job. And then later on by Zechariah, you read also in the life of Joshua that the devil was standing on his right hand in the court with the Lord. And on the cross of Calvary, then the Lord, he bruised the head of Satan. And then Christ ascended into heaven, then the devil that is cast out of heaven forever, he never shall return there. That is, of course, the fruit, the immediately fruit, the result of the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is, as Luther said, in one of seek him while he is to be found and to call upon him while he is near. Before the devil that is dumb. And what is now one thing that we have to observe with the devil too? In regard to the fall of Adam, that is this congregation that now men, that now that devil, that he is full of enmity against his creator. That, let I try to explain it in my own words, that his heart now is burning of fire with enmity against God and his creature. Was it possible for the devil to break the majesty and the power and existence of the Lord? No, no. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou art God. The Lord, he is the same. But now that creature that was created after the image of God, and now, how long that Adam and Eve were staying in a state of innocency and had lived in paradise, we don't know. Mark, that is one of our old writers, and Calvin, you know, and more others that we have, they all think, all of them, that Adam and Eve had lived very short in that state of rectitude. Luther was the only one. He said it must not be longer than 7 days that Adam had lived there. We talk no further about 7 days because the Bible say nothing about it. But, well do I believe, and we have to believe, that it was very short. Because that devil, humanly speaking, he must reveal his enmity and that bitter gall that he had in him to poison the creation and the creature of the Lord. The devil that came one day to Eve, but through a serpent. Was Eve not afraid? No, not at all. The serpent that came there walking as that we are walking on our feet. And of course there was no sin in paradise. Thus, there was no fear. And Eve and also Adam, they don't know what it was to be scared. They don't know anything about it. That is, after the fall of Adam, so different people. And now that devil that came to that Eve, not to Adam, with Adam, the Lord had made the covenant of works, and not with Eve. Some people that say he came to Eve because he was the weaker vessel. No. That is impossible, because in a state of innocency there was no talk about a weak vessel. No. That we are weak, that is ook the result of sin. Dus Eve was not a weak person. No. Adam and Eve both, they had the strength received from the Lord to obey the Lord and to walk in his ways. The devil, he is very deceitful. He twists the precepts. In other words, he was creating doubt, attempts to create pride, because he said to Eve, you shall be as God. He cast suspicion upon God. He said to Eve, God does know. And why was it that he now start with that woman? Because he thought, so wise he was, if I start with Adam, and Adam he cut me off, then I am done, I am totally done. Then there is no opportunity further to go to Eve. Because then that Eve, that Adam, that shall well influence his wife to say no. But now he came to Eve, because he thought, if she cut me off, then I have an opportunity to go to Adam. The devil, he came, I shall give you some thoughts about the devil's work. The devil, he came, children, listen to it and keep it in your mind that you never forget it. The devil, he came to Eve with lies, blaspheming the Lord, with a suggestion to eat of that forbidden fruit. He came alluring, enticing to sin. And it was the devil that also brought that Eve to sin. As soon as that Eve start to talk with the devil, then it was done already. Then she came immediately under the power of the devil. If we try to talk with sin and with the devil, then we are gone, people. Then we are already gone. And that Eve, the devil, he said, your eyes shall be opened. ye shall be no good and evil. Were he eyes not open, was he blind? No. But that word of the devil that means nothing else, then ye eyes shall be opened. If you listen to me, and if you obey me, and if you walk to that tree and take the fruit of that tree, and you bite once in that tree, then you shall be your own boss. Then from that time on, the Lord shall not make out what is good and evil, but you for yourself make it out. You are now dependent, let I say it in this manner, you are now dependent, but if you listen to me, then you become independent. And then you are standing totally loose from the Lord. You have no more to do anything with him. That was all that the devil said to that Eve. What an awful thing, people. What an awful temptation. And you would say, it was to a certain extent small, and to another extent it was great. Only to bite in that fruit of that tree. And then the decision. And then the punishment. Not over himself and over his life. But also over the whole human race. And over each and everyone. And that even the curse came over the whole world. What an awful condition. We sing, the trespass of the wicked man most plainly testifies that fear of God's most holy name is not before his eyes. 93, the first stanza. I have mentioned to you some sins of the devil in tempting men in paradise, but now I give you a list of the sin of Adam and Eve. That Eve and that also that Adam had eaten of that fruit, that was not because they were hungry, and it was not because they were ignorant, no, but willfully, on purpose, they were eaten of that fruit. They would be as God. And now the sin of that first parents, unbelief. They did no longer believe what the Lord had spoken to them. Pride, haughtiness, standing about the Lord. They transgress the command of the Lord. And what kind of sinner to us, ungratefulness towards the Creator and towards the benefactor. It was robbery, they robbed the honor of the Lord. It was covetousness. In one word, they fall off from the Lord and they enjoy it with them. And oh congregation, if there now is something that comes back here, then it is. There is nothing so miserable that we are without God in the world, that he broke that tie that was laid between God and men, that he made a separation between heaven and earth. So, 72 years old, then he went to that witch there in Endor, and then he said, "The Lord, answer me no more." Oh, the devil kept men busy in the world, one with fun and one with honor, another one with money, and third one with pride and with something else. But oh, now the reality, people, the reality, a separation between God and man, no place to go. And then the Lord said, "It is heard. Terrible shall it be to fall in the hands of a living God." Oh, there is many people also in our country here that take their life time and again. Every year you have a list of the names of the number that had done it, but is of. Oh, congregation, I tell you this morning, if it has come back to us, what we have done in paradise, oh, stretch out our hands against the highest majesty of God. And that we have tried to cast the Lord from his throne and to place ourselves upon that throne. Oh, if we think about that, then we can realize that every sin that is, that cannot be forgiven, no. Only the Lord can do it through Christ and his blood. But we shall forgive it ourselves never if the fall of Adam become our fall personally. And what now man had brought upon himself in that punishment, oh, temporal death, involved and covered with all sickness, weakness, various griefs, sorrow, afflictions, there, and misery coupled therewith. If you think about what takes place here in this world, all the results of sin, and then a spiritual death, our ignorance,
And separated from God. Och, if there is one here in my church in this morning who can say, I am satisfied here in this world, if he would stand up, then I would say right in the face, you are a liar. You are a liar. Because what is life here? The reality. The reality. Most of the people that is sleeping, and so they go to hell. Let I say as it is. And if you belong to God's children, by the sovereign grace of the Lord, then you are assaulted by the devil and tempted by him your whole life, day and night. Day and night. And then we have to bear the results of our sin all the time of our life, people. That's many times that we more desire to die than to live. The fall of Adam, people. And then so wretched that we have not only sinned against the highest majesty, but sinned against our neighbor too. Also towards our neighbors too. Adam, he sinned against his wife. And they both have sinned against their generation. Oh, what a cruelty. What a cruelty. That sin of Adam that had brought all that wretchedness upon the children of men. From generation to generation. If you know all the tears and all the cries and sighs here in this world, people, oh, there's no more a paradise, but the whole world that is in hell. That is in hell. And here you have of the hell. In your own heart. But Hooker's wrote, one of the ministers wrote that yesterday nog to me, that peace out of Hooker. And he said, Hooker wrote in one of his works, that soon the Lord takes hell in heaven. And that is when we die, with grace in our heart. And then we are delivered from that hell. But is it hell, Lord? Oh, yes, nothing else. Be honest. Be honest. What that all takes place here in the world, but now that is for a fallen child of Adam. That is wandering outside of paradise, that he still became converted. That there came a second Adam. A second Adam. The Lord out of heaven. And by his mediatorial work, oh, he is picking up that poor people. And he saved them to the uttermost. And in the knowledge of that Christ is now eternal life. Oh, young and old. Young and old. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. That is the only way. That is that gospel that I preach to you this morning. as I told you already, that now so a wretched one, so a sinner, that he can be converted. That there is a blood that washes and cleanses from all our sins. Thus, boys and girls, no excuse. No excuse. And now our Reformed doctrine that teaches the state of death, the total depravity of men, but that is also preaching the necessary work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating and in glorifying Christ in the heart of such a wretch. Oh, there is hope, there is hope for the greatest of sinners. Some in my midst would say, I am so hard. Oh, yeah, boy, you are not much harder than you can explain it. Harder than a millstone. Oh, people, our doctrine that teaches us that we lay at the bottom of hell. But through Christ and through his righteousness, they are brought in the heart of the Father. And to lay, as Rutherford said, that dear child of God, that the Lord lays that people in the bleeding arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is rest. And there is peace. Oh, young and old, tis maybe the last message that the Lord gave you this day. It is possible. It is possible. There is only one step, a step, said the Bible, between us and death. And if we now neglect that gospel, and if we despise the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what shall it be terrible if death come? But it is still the time of grace. Oh, that you may learn to bow your knees, and boys and girls and children, men and women, if you then bow your knees, what must you say then? Oh, say then, my Lord, 'tis here so stiff, but oh, break it is down. Oh, break it is down, and make me receptive for the second Adam, who had restored what that first Adam had ruined. I would say much more to you this morning, but I have to stop for the catechism class. Oh, there is room for captives. There is room for sinful. There is room in Christ for sinful and wretched and undone sinners who have nothing else than sin. O children of God, that we acknowledge the Father for his unspeakable gift given in his beloved Son Jesus Christ. And that to restore not half, no, but perfectly. And then to receive through Christ a salvation that we never shall lose. Adam could lose it. Because it was given in his hand. But now the Father lay it in the hands of Christ. And he is at the right hand of his Father. And he shall lose it never. Therefore, salvation is sure and certain for all those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, that it may please thee to remember us with the whole congregation. And last, what we have spoken in this morning in the hearts of thy people. And be with us in the other part of this day. Make it well with the weather also. that we can come back in the afternoon and evening, and that our life is in the house of the Lord and in the ordinances of the of Him. Remember us, bless thy word, and bless all the labors in the church. Forgive our sins and prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. For Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now 415. We were also praying this morning for the family of Van der Meel, whose brother passed away this weekend, who shall be buried tomorrow. Unto thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul. Number 415. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.